All right, so I did my little plug, and now I'm talking to a real-life goddamn astronaut. Round of applause for God, this is Colonel Terry Virts, ladies and gentlemen, who we were talking about before. This is a very special day here on the program. It's our weatherman's birthday. He's not here. He lives in Canada. He's from Nova Scotia. However, we decided because it's his birthday that we would have a someone who has actually gone through the atmosphere, the one and only Colonel Terry Virts. You are an astronaut. How long have you been an astronaut? Well, were you an astronaut? Because you're retired now from NASA.
Yeah, I got hired in 2000. So, so I left NASA 6 or 7 years ago. I left a few years ago.
All right.
So yeah, I was there a little over 16 years.
And how many times in that 16 years that you were, how many flights to space have you taken, sir?
I flew once on a space shuttle on a 2-week mission as a pilot, and then I went back up with the Russians on a Soyuz on a 200-day mission for that one. So a little over 7 months.
And what's it like to be in space for like 200 days? What's that like?
Well, the first couple days.
See, he's got cough now.
Excuse me. I got a cough. Yeah.
He's got a space disease now.
It's an alien bug.
He's got Martian flu. Oh, there he goes.
It's those camels.
It might be.
Watch me sound like a scientist. Terry, you should have some H2O. That's code for water. That's right, kids. I went to science. That's right. All right.
That's a good technique.
All right, good. So you take a swig, I'll take a swig. Go ahead. That's good water.
So the first couple days sucked. I was dizzy. I had a bad headache. I could barely move my head. I was clumsy, you know, clucking around.
Yeah.
And then, like, the third morning, it was like a light switch got turned on. All of a sudden, boom, I was good. And it was amazing. And then I was good the rest of the time. But there's still a learning curve. It takes you a few weeks to get good at moving around, throwing stuff to your crewmates if they need something. It's a learning process. But the first couple of days were bad, and then after that, it was good. And then I went back to my second flight probably 5 years after my first flight. And it was good from day one. It was like, man, I just remembered everything. It was crazy.
All right, we have questions, and I hope you have answers because you're the only person I know that's in, at least in this room, via the phone. But you're still in this room. I got to ask questions. All right, first question, Joe. We'll get to your question in 1 minute.
Okay.
Because I want to know before that question, I want to know what's it like to use the bathroom in space? Because that alarms me. Like, if you, because I know that we all.
Exactly.
Go ahead. Explain, Mr. Virts. Colonel. Can I call you Colonel?
It's actually not anything you want.
All right, cool.
It's not too bad. The key point is that you need gravity to make sure everything goes in the right direction.
Thank you. That's what I was fighting with these guys on. You need gravity to do anything.
Yeah,
of course.
Now, all right, let me understand this. When you got to make a number one. All right, you pee in a tube, uh-huh. Right? And then it just sucks the pee-pee down the hose, and it gets, like, locked in a chamber so you don't have pee flying around, right?
Yep.
Okay, yep. Now, number two, the dreaded number two, because I imagine taking a poop in space has to be goddamn crazy. Has to be nutty. It has to be a weird feeling to poop in space. Now, do you have to strap yourself to the toilet because you don't want to float away while taking a dump?
It's just like a can. So imagine for number one, you got a hose with a fan.
Okay.
Number two, you got a can with a fan. So the key is you got to have good aim to make sure you get it in the right place.
But that's what I'm saying.
It's pretty normal.
Do you have to train for that? Do they train you? Or do you just like, hey, you're on your own, Terry?
No. You train for sure.
All right.
Well, they have, you know, devices you could see and practice with to make sure, you know, they have a emergency procedures card that you want to make sure you don't be the person that screws up the toilet. So if anything goes wrong, you got to follow the procedures. So
now what happens? Have you ever had a clogged toilet? Has the toilet ever clogged in space?
Let's go, Mr. Plumber.
Like you can't call the plumber.
You are the plumber. I worked on that toilet for hours and hours. Yeah.
Now what? Now, okay. Because we watch all the, we've all watched Apollo. What was it, Apollo? What was it, Apollo 13 was the movie? I just wanted to make sure I had the number right. I knew it was Apollo.
That was a movie.
Okay, so now we've all seen things. We've all seen like the famous floating when somebody threw a banana and it spun through the air and they ate the banana and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
While you're floating in space.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we have a. This is a serious question. I know Colonel Terry Virts. You are a man of the military. You are also an astronaut. I'm not trying to befuddle you in any way, shape, or form, but I am going to ask this question. Well, Billy, your mic was off. I'm sorry. Yeah, Billy, what?
Did you ever think when you joined the Air Force that this is what would become?
Yeah, no. That's not the question. All right. We have a question because a lot of people are asking questions. We got stuff about aliens. We'll get to that in a minute. But I have to ask this question, too. When in space, is it feasible? Is it possible? And does it even happen? Sexual intercourse, does it happen in space?
Well, so for that, I've written a couple books.
There you go.
I have a kid's book that just came out. But
it's not in the kid's book, right?
My big book came out a couple years ago. It's called How to Astronaut.
Okay.
It's 51 short chapters about how do you go to the bathroom in space, how do you fly in a space
shuttle,
how
do you
put a space suit on, how do you do the spacewalk, all that normal stuff. Well, the first chapter I wrote for that book is called It Was a Long 200 Days. For your listeners.
Yeah. Right.
Oh,
they can, there's an audio book. They can listen. It's read by the author, so you can listen to me narrate it. But yeah.
All right. We have this. So how do you astronaut?
Correct. Yeah.
All right. We have
how
to get this book.
Astronaut.
We have to get this book. Terry, yes, if you yes, want, yes. Send us one. Yeah. We definitely need this book.
Yeah.
Because the reason why we're asking, correct me if I'm wrong, you're the astronaut, I'm not, so I have to ask you this. To actually feasibly have sex in space, I would need some form of gravity, right?
Well, I wouldn't know. Like I said, the title of the chapter was It Was a Long 200
Days. Well, I know. You didn't have any. I'm saying you went on a drought for 200 days. I know. And I'm sorry to you and your genitals. But I'm trying to figure out if...
You wouldn't need... Yeah.
Yeah, you would need gravity because the actual function of intercourse, you would need some form of gravity. Now, here's the second part of that question. Is it possible... And how would we do it, because we have a bet here in the studio, to make anti-gravity? In other words, is there a way to actually create a stable place where you can actually... Because like on all the science fiction shows, you're a big fan of Star Trek. I know that for a fact.
Me too.
That, you know, when Leonard Nimoy died, you did a Live Long and Prosper out the window in honor of the great Spock when he passed away. So, is it possible to create anti-gravity? Is there a way to actually do that?
I'm not sure what anti-gravity even is. When you're in space, you're weightless. You're just floating.
Yeah, but we're trying to figure out. Joe said it's rotation.
I said the reason we have gravity on this planet is because the planet rotates.
You can have a centrifuge.
Exactly.
So we would have
to have a centrifuge on the space station.
And
it's for little science experiments. It's for blood and plants and little things. You put it in a centrifuge, and you can make 1G or 2Gs or half G or whatever you want. Depends on how fast you spin it.
All right, so you have to. So it's got to go at an accelerated rate to therefore make the actual 1G or 2G and everything else.
Yeah.
All right. So this is what we're learning here. We got Colonel Terry Virts, a man who has been in space.
That's
Joe,
exactly
no offense to you, I'm not going to listen to you. I'm going to listen to an astronaut explain. First off, we've learned how to take a poo, how to take a pee. We learned about sex in space. It was a long 200 days. Terry did not make whoopee.
Well, I honestly believe that the scientists have already worked this out, because it's a very important thing. If you're going to have these long, extended trips in outer space, which eventually, if they're going to reach other planets, they're going to have, you're going to have some sort of relationship on the ship or whatever. I mean, if they're years in traveling in space and males and females... And not only that, just the fact of, can a baby be born in space? Can normal...
I'm sure a baby can be born in space.
Well, yeah, but will it be okay in zero gravity or whatever? You know,
it's going to be a very messy delivery.
I'm convinced. If there's any scientists, they've thought of this already. In the 60 years that we've been in space, you know, I'm sure they've thought of this already.
Say, did you
and
ever,
they've got it all worked out.
Terry, when you were at NASA, did you ever think that you would answer these questions on a radio show?
There's not a question that I haven't answered.
That's my boy, Jerry. Good job, Colonel. Yes, all right, so we have a question from the audience. Stacy on the Facebook Live suite is asking, have you seen aliens? Do you believe in aliens? Do you think that there's a possibility of aliens? See, there's the one that gave you the flu.
You got a chapter in How to Astronaut about that, too. So like I said, you got to read the book.
Yeah, but see, I have you here. I don't have the book.
So the answer to your question is I don't know. I do not see any. There's a lot of planets out there, so you'd think there's some aliens out there somewhere. But I also think life is really complicated.
It really
and
is.
I don't think it just starts on its own, you know? So yeah. I think somebody's got to start it.
I've said numerous times, even if you, like, let's just say you don't believe in science, but you believe in God, right? God created the heavens and the earth, and he's omnipotent, and he's all these things. Do you think he stopped at one planet? Don't you think he fucked up a bunch of times then got to us, and he's like, okay, I'm good with the humans.
Oh, we could be a fuck-up as well.
Exactly.
I've got a chapter about God also.
Oh, see, this man in this
book is good.
Has every,
go and get the book.
Now,
Terry, where can I get this book? Because I need to buy this book now, and I think other people do, because these are all questions I need answered, bro.
Yeah. How to Astronaut. I literally have a chapter about, is there a God?
No, but where do I get the book? Tell me where to get it, and tell the people where to get it.
Oh, any local bookstore, How to Astronaut, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, it's anywhere. Or the audiobook is on Apple and Audible. I think it's on all the apps, excuse me. So it should be pretty easy, How to Astronaut. My kid's book, if you got kids, it's an illustrated book is called The Astronaut's Guide to Leaving the Planet. So
that sounds very interesting.
I wrote that because the book is kind of what motivated me to be an astronaut.
Yeah. I'm excited. This is why I was excited to have a living, breathing astronaut. I mean, I met Buzz Aldrin. Don't get me wrong. Nice guy. But that wasn't my show. So I didn't get to ask him the questions about the peeing and the pooping and the sex in space. I have now an actual astronaut on the line. I got to ask these questions. So I'm sorry, but we did have to ask these things. And the aliens, people want to do. And a lot of people are saying, yeah, we can go read the book, but we got you on the phone line right now. So I know you said you didn't see any aliens. That's cool. And now you had no sex for 200 days. But physically, a lot of stuff is out there. What was it like when you went to space for the first time? And also, by the way, how long does it take to get from the Earth to the Moon? How long did it take you?
Well, Earth to the Moon during Apollo took about 3 days because they went on a direct route. They just went straight to the Moon. You can take a much slower path. Some of these small satellites we sent up to the Moon take like a month or longer.
I told you, stopped at the Howard Jones.
The Apollo guys went direct.
Yeah. So
they went direct.
They went direct. So 3 days a direct flight, but that's the nonstop Delta, and you're there. And then if you stop at Hooters to get wings, that takes you a couple more. It takes you a little bit.
Of course. Yeah.
That's space Hooters, buddy.
Yeah. Exactly.
All right,
exactly.
So this is what I'm saying. This is stuff that we need to know. But what did you feel like first time ever? Because you went through the simulators, you do all the training. Take me through, Terry, the first time you're in a chair strapped to a goddamn rocket, you're about to go shoot off to the moon. What did that feel like? What does flying through space feel like?
Well, when you're launching, it's an 8.5 minute ride into space, so it's just getting smashed back in your seat. You're shaking and vibrating, and you get up to 3G. So it's like laying on your back and having a couple of your best friends lay on top of you.
Wow.
While one of them shakes you.
Yeah.
So
I got fat friends, so I mean, that's going to be bad.
I know.
Jesus. All right.
Exactly.
All right. So
maintain an airway.
So that's
make sure you can breathe.
Right. Yeah. Very important.
Have you seen astronauts throw up? Because I know a G will make you throw up. 3 Gs is going to make you puke.
It depends. Some do going uphill. Some do when they get back to Earth. Some don't. It just depends. There's no correlation. And then, but after a few days, everybody gets back to basic, normal stuff.
Now, to become an Terry, to become an astronaut, is there some kind of particular thing that you have to be good at? Like, is it like when you're doing all the training, is there, if you fail at one thing or you're not good enough, what's the thing that makes everyone, you know, get cut off the list?
Well, there's 100 things that they look at, and whatever it is you think you're good at, there's going to be somebody in the astronaut office that's better than you, so you just have to be ready for that. But yeah, it's fun though. When you become an astronaut, there's a lot of different things. It's not like you do the same thing every day. It's always something different. And I like that. That helps my ADD out.
Oh, you have ADD?
I probably.
All right, just because I know a lot of people that have ADD, so that's inspiring to a lot of people.
It's probably beneficial.
Yeah, because I know a lot of people with ADD who feel like they can't do shit. This guy's a fucking astronaut.
No, well, you know, it's beneficial to have something.
I have to be
like
doing
that.
Something different all the time. I can't just sit still and do one thing. So.
Dude, I know.
Yeah.
Are you on medication for the ADD? Because I know a lot of people are.
No.
So you
this
just
is, no, I'm not.
All right. I'm serious. I do know a lot of people with ADD, and a lot of people with ADD feel like they can't function in society. This guy just proves everyone wrong because he's out there. I mean, even though he's got the alien flu and he's coughing up a lung, this guy at least is he went to space. He's an astronaut. He's also a podcaster, an author. What else do you do? I know that you're also a speaker. You go out there and you do. Like, is there anything you don't
speaking,
do?
Consulting. Singing. I'm a very bad singer.
Very bad singer.
Okay.
Let's do astronaut karaoke.
Okay. That's one thing you can cross off the astronaut list. We say you're out. We don't take singers.
Terry, what do you do for fun when you're in space? That's another thing. You said it was so you weren't having sex. Obviously, for 200 days.
Yeah, that would have been fun.
Yeah, that would have been fun, at least some form of enjoyment. What do you do? Do you get to bring, like, books with you? Or, like, do you get to pack luggage?
There's always something.
Or is there always something
done
to do? Then, like, what do you do for fun, though?
You're probably busy 23 hours a day.
I did movie making. So I helped make an IMAX movie called A Beautiful Planet.
Yes.
So whenever I had a spare time, I was filming something or I was uploading the images or the videos or whatever. It's a great movie. It's a really, really spectacular IMAX movie called A Beautiful Planet.
Beautiful Planet, all right.
Yeah. So if you're near an IMAX theater, or I think you can get it on, you know, Blu-ray or probably streaming too, I guess. But anyway, so I helped make that movie, but I did the whole thing in my spare time. So.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Was there ever a lazy couch potato of an astronaut that just sat there eating chips, watching TV or something?
It wasn't me. I know that.
Right. It was probably a bunch of them cosmonauts, right? Those guys are always sitting around doing nothing, saying dos vidanya.
They definitely have less work to do than we do.
Exactly. They're sitting there doing shots of vodka. They're watching Moose and Squirrel the Bullwinkle. That's what they're doing. Mm-hmm. While this guy, Terry's out there filming whole freaking movies.
Yeah.
These guys are sitting there going, hey, did you see this latest episode of The Little Rascals? Come on.
Have you been to the International Space Station, Terry?
Terry, have you been to the International Space Station?
I helped I finished building the International Space Station.
Right.
On my
there
first
you go,
little
Joe.
Place.
Okay.
See, I like this. Go ahead, Terry.
When I went back, I spent 200 days on my second flight.
All right.
Now,
Billy has a question for you, Terry. I'm sorry.
How is going back and forth from space back to Earth, back up, has that affected your body in any way?
Yeah.
Or is that in the
you
book?
You know, when you first land, you feel super heavy and just dizzy and heavy and dizzy. But I recovered really quickly. A week after I landed, I was in space for 200 days. A week after I landed, my balance score, they do this test, was better than it was before I launched.
Oh, wow.
I just recovered really fast.
Wow.
Can you imagine, because Terry was saying that when he went up, remember, he had a headache, you know.
Sure.
Can you imagine being up in space and you're sick? Like, you know what I mean? You got diarrhea, you got a headache.
Sure, it happens.
It's got to be the worst feeling because you can't go anywhere. You can't go do anything, and everyone's right on top of you.
Yeah.
You know, so, like, I'm going to go hide in this corner because that's where I, that's all I can go right now.
It's probably a lot like life on a submarine, you know? Because you're in a capsule, you're with a bunch of guys, and that's it.
Joe, there are women on the ship, too. I mean,
well,
there are lady astronauts nowadays. Is, yeah.
Well, I'm a you know, I'm a sleeper. I'm a sleeper. So how do you sleep up there? Do you have a bed or you just you
don't
know,
they strap
just,
you to a wall?
Sit somewhere and sleep.
I had a sleeping bag, and you have a like a. It's like a phone booth size thing. It's your own little crew quarters, and you sleep in there, and it's pretty great. Actually, sleeping was really good.
Really?
I was worried that I'd be able to sleep, but it was not a problem.
But do you have to strap yourself in? Because if you have, like, a nightmare, do you just, like, float around and bounce into a wall?
On the shuttle, when there were six of us in the little space shuttle, you had to find a wall or a ceiling or something and just strap your thing. But on the station, you have your own... phone booth, so you just go in there and shut the door. I would just float, which was really cool, actually. It's a great way to sleep.
I can imagine with me. You don't have to worry about the mattress getting too hot or something. Yeah. You know?
The only problem is if you're a bedwetter, you're fucked.
No pinch points, nothing.
Yeah.
Very healthy.
So, Terry, now let me just take me through this. What's a daily, like, you wake up, take me through a day as an astronaut. I wake up. What do I do? Do I shower somehow? Do I go have breakfast? What do I do? Take me through the day.
Yeah, every day's different. So you start off with a meeting. You call down to Houston and Moscow and Europe and Canada. You talk to everybody.
Oh,
all right.
Control, and then about a 20-minute meeting, and then you go off and you do your work. So throughout the day, they've got you blocked off in 5-minute increments, and you do. Experiments and maintenance and public affairs calls, whatever. It's some unpacking a cargo ship, getting ready for a spacewalk. It's something different every day. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of the day, you have another one of those calls where you talk to all the different mission control centers. And then you got a couple hours free. And it was in that couple hours that I would do my IMAX filming.
Yeah. So, well, you found time to fill the void, but, like, others probably didn't. So, like... Because I imagine we all got, as us normal people, by the way, we're talking to Colonel Terry Virts. He's an astronaut. You're not. He's an astronaut. We here in the world, once everything started with this, you know, this when they first went to the moon and everyone got so like, oh, space food. You know what I mean? Like the powdered substance, or you do all the. Has the food gotten better?
Do you guys really use Tang?
Do you drink Tang?
Actually, we do.
Yeah.
Let's hear it for Tang. That's delicious.
That's pretty good stuff.
That's
man.
Good stuff.
Orange and red and stuff. And I asked the food lab. I was like, "Where is this?" And they said, "Yeah, it's Tang."
Nice.
Don't drink it.
So in the 200 days, he got some Tang.
It was one of the favorite things.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah, it was one of the favorite everybody's favorite drinks.
Yeah, because it's
out
delicious.
Of them immediately.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Well, but that's what I'm saying. How much food do you guys go through? Do you have like when you wake up? Do you get to have like breakfast? And what do you eat for breakfast? You're an astronaut. What do you eat? Do you have like powdered eggs? What do you do? I don't take me through. Is everything like in a straw?
Yeah, they've got eggs. They've got oatmeal. They've got sausage patties, whatever, just basic breakfast food. It's all dehydrated, so you have to plug it into a machine, and it fills it up with water, and wait about 10 minutes, and it turns into food.
I bet you guys want a good meal when you get home.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, you can tell, by the way, that Terry's in shape,
because
he's okay with this. He's like, yeah, you just dehydrated. And you can tell that I'm fat.
Yeah, so what?
Because the first thing out of my mouth, what are we having for breakfast?
Hey, kid.
What are we? Come on, I want some eggs, I'm fat, make me an omelet.
Yeah.
Come on, let's go. And you just add, now is it now when you add like when you they just this machine adds water to the item, and you just or you will you pick it up with your hand and eat it like I'm trying to visualize all this stuff because we've seen the sci-fi movies you know like Star Wars they're drinking blue milk we know it exists all that kind of weird shit but when you're an actual astronaut it's nothing like the movies so like. Eating has to be, like, that would be an annoying thing for poop, would be an annoying thing for me. All these, like, little idiosyncrasies that we take for granted.
No sex.
Yeah, no sex.
That would be annoying.
Can't even jerk off, for Christ's sake.
Well, yeah.
Where are you going to put it? That's the thing, Joe. You can't. You got to finish in that tube in the bathroom. What are you going to do?
That's true.
Where's Terry? He's having a private moment. You know what I mean? Like,
it
it doesn't work like that. So, like, you can't even do that for he was up there for 200 days, for Christ's sake. Oh, I can't, Terry, I can't even imagine the stuff that you're an honest-to-goodness hero. This is something that is something that I know that everyone in this room would not do.
Oh, no.
And I know for a fact that we would be bitching and moaning the whole time. Like you guys don't even have TV up there or anything. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you don't have...
But you got so much to do, you wouldn't, you know...
It wouldn't work for me.
Right. Yeah.
It's a little too close.
Exactly.
In.
I got to tell you, you got to have a lot of nerves to sit on top of a Roman candle and get your ass blown right into space.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah.
Those things are powerful.
Yeah. Just literally what Terry was just telling us, the 3 Gs when you're flying off.
Yeah.
I would be like...
Absolutely.
Yeah, it wouldn't work for me.
It wouldn't work for me either. So
even that sleeping in the phone booth.
That 8 minute ride.
I can't take an MRI.
Yeah.
Well, the spacewalks where you go outside to repair things and stuff, that would frighten me beyond belief.
Yeah, because if any, you're only tethered by this little thing. Yeah.
If it sort of just like separates and you just start drifting, like you where do you go?
Terry, do you watch all those, like that movie with Sandra Bullock and the one with... what was it with the Martian? Whatever the frick it was with the Matt Damon or whatever it was. What happened?
Yeah, I watched that.
You watched that while you were up there?
They probably look at it and go,
I watched. Hey, I'm just about out of time, guys. Yes, I watched that while I was in space.
Oh, man. All right. He's got to go. Terry's got to go blast off somewhere else. Terry, thank you for being on the show. Ladies and gentlemen, Colonel Terry Verse.
Yes.
And this guy has balls of steel. He watched Gravity while he was in space. So, jeez. Jesus Christ. Terry.
Tell everybody where they can.
Yeah, plug anything you want. You're an astronaut. Plug anything you want. Tell us where to get the books. Tell us where
podcasts,
to get the
everything.
Whole thing. Everything. Tell us whatever you want.
So, all right. Well, How to Astronaut is kind of the adult book. 51 short chapters will make you laugh and say, wow.
Uh-huh.
The Astronaut's Guide to Leaving the Kids book, Astronaut's Guide to Leaving the Planet. And so if you got like a 10-year-old or 12-year-old kind of elementary, middle school kid who's into space, that's great. I have a Nat Geo photography book called View from Above. So if you want like a coffee table book or something, that one's pretty fun too.
That must be nice. Yeah.
This guy does everything. You can also see that movie, Beautiful Earth, right?
Beautiful Planet.
Beautiful Planet. Nice. Beautiful Planet. Eddie, get it right, stupid.
Yes.
Beautiful Planet.
Okay.
Oh, my God. I screwed it up in front of the astronaut. Terry, let me tell you, thank you for being on the show. You are one hell of a man.
You
have done a lot of things. Ladies and gentlemen, Colonel Terry Verse, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you, Terry, for being on the show, sir.
Thanks for having me on. See ya. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, I think he was slightly annoyed, but I think he also enjoyed it.
I think he's a Christian.
You think he's a Christian?
Yeah, he got very uptight when we started talking about the sexual questions, and I don't blame him.
I don't think he got uptight. He wrote a whole book about it.
Well, I'm sure he wrote it in his way.